Welcome to the Babe, What Do You Know About podcast.
We're your hosts, husband and wife duo, Sam
and Taylor.
Air their grievances publicly for your entertainment.
Ow! Aren't they just the cutest?
They are. Ella makes me laugh, like, constantly.
Yes. Yes. Because she's the funniest person in the world, obviously.
She says the strangest things. So we actually started keeping notes on them.
Yeah, what was the thing the other day? She was insisting that she was a crab.
Yeah, so she was insisting she was a crab. And I didn't perfectly understand this at the time. And I could just tell she was sad. So I said, do you want a hug? And she got more upset that she didn't want a hug. And I finally clicked what she said she was a crab. And so I made the like little pincer
hand
motions. I said, do you want a pinch hug? And she said, yes. And we did pinching hands and hugged at the same time. She was so happy.
And that made the hug acceptable. Shame. And Max, he's getting so fun. He, sadly, he has a surgery on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But hopefully that helps him feel a lot better. Poor thing. Sweeties. Well, that I thought that would be a cute introduction for our episode on parenthood.
Loved it. What a good surprise.
So let me do my stuff. Okay. In a study by Pew Research in January 2023, so very recent, and in a nod to the adage about family life that parenting is the hardest job in the world, most parents say that being a parent has been at least somewhat harder than they expected, and about a quarter saying that it's been a lot harder. This is especially true of mothers, 30% of whom say being a parent has been a lot harder than they expected, compared with 20% of fathers saying the same. So there are wide differences in some of the ways that mothers and fathers describe their parenting style. For example, about half of mothers say they tend to be overprotective compared to 38% of fathers. And in turn, fathers are more likely than mothers to say they tend to give their children too much freedom. Just so funny, because for us, I feel like it's switched. Roughly as many parents say they are trying to raise their children in a similar way to how they are raised as the people that say they're trying to raise them differently. So people are doing about the same amount of each. Parents are more likely to say they feel judged by family members than by friends or other parents in their community or people they interact with. So that's where most of like people's stress about judgment is coming from, family. The vast majority of parents say that being a parent is enjoyable and rewarding all or most of the time, but substantial shares also find it tiring and stressful. 91% say that parenting is their greatest joy, while 73% say that parenting is also their greatest challenge. So complicated. It is also getting more and more expensive to raise children, and these higher costs may lead to many prospective parents waiting to have children or deciding not to have them at all. In 2021, 44% of non-parents of child-rearing age said that they were unlikely to have children someday. 54% of parents wish they had more information about how to be a better parent, and 57% of parents struggle with figuring out the most effective way to discipline. So, with the hopes of providing some more of both of those things, babe, what do you know about parenthood?
I'm getting there. Yeah. I feel like I feel like I'm trying to get into a groove with parenting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. we have a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old, so we're definitely on like the earlier scale of parenting. But did you always want to be a parent?
Yeah, I did. I've always wanted to be a parent, always wanted kids. It's one of the reasons why I, you know, want to get married again was I wanted to have a family, and I thought you would be someone really great to have a family with. I'm a first time dad at the age of 36.
Yes. 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 That's how old you were, just barely, when Ella was born.
Yeah. Trying to do the math on it. I'm also very glad that I didn't have children until later on. I feel like I ended up with a lot more experience and patience than what kind of person I was, you know, in my early 20s. So, yeah. Hmm. How about you?
I did always want to be a parent. In fact, so I'm the second oldest of five. We go boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. And the baby is almost 11 years younger than me. And I remember very vividly, like, my mom being pregnant with him and having him and just being obsessed with him. Just love him to bits. I still do. But my mom always jokes that she had to, like, remind me that she was the mom, like, not me, because I always wanted to take care of him or comfort him or feed him or whatever. So I always have wanted to be a parent. I think I always wanted, like, a ton of kids too, but now that I've had a couple, it's not that I don't want a ton of kids, it's that I'm allergic to being pregnant, so I just can't physically do it. But yeah, parenthood is very complicated. Like, how do you explain the most difficult and most rewarding thing you'll ever do?
I know, super hard to explain. The funny thing is, because I had kids later on, I was prepared in terms of everyone I knew had kids. You know, I've got nieces and nephews. Everyone gave me the, you know, their experiences. And, you know, even after all that, hearing it for decades, you know, and I thought in my mind, yeah, I've got this easy, under control, yeah. Like, you know, I understand it's hard, you know, but then there's one thing about, you know, knowing it's going to be difficult and then actually experiencing it. And for me, the hardest part, you know, is actually just the loss of time. So it's literally your time is gone. And I was so used to having time. So in terms of, like, dealing with the complexity and the difficulties, I feel like I do a pretty good job.
But being able to recharge is not
easy. You don't have that, like, a moment to yourself just to, you know, do the life that you want to live, because it's gone now.
Yeah, it just takes the way I think about it, because my mom, she always says this, like, your kids fit into your life, not the other way around. That's obviously easier said than done, but you for sure can, like, still do things you want to do. Everything just takes a lot more effort, though, and a lot more time and a lot more planning, and it could just go to crap really quickly.
Yeah, so, like, we've taken Ella to Hawaii twice. We've gone to Florida once, Texas. So it's like we've been able to fit in travel. We try, like, have her go to activities with us and do things, and we try to do enjoyable things, you know, close by that we – you know, want to do with her, but it's still, like,
it just takes a lot more. And it's,
yeah,
when we've taken her on holidays, especially, like, it hasn't been really a vacation. It's been a great, amazing family trip. So I don't regret it and I love it, but I wouldn't say that I, like, was able to rest and recharge.
Not really. You just kind of parents in a different place.
Yeah. So it's, like, better in some ways and more difficult in some ways.
Spent a bunch of money to put her on her plane for a bunch of hours. That was hard for her, and then
she does pretty well.
Yeah, but still. So the going back to the, how do you explain something that's so difficult but so rewarding? It really is rewarding. You know, I've been able to do a lot of things that I've just, like, dreamt of doing and accomplishing, and that feels very rewarding and makes you happy. But there's something about having, you know, children that just feels like a deeper fulfillment. Like, it's hard to explain. Yeah. I love just watching Ella be, and, you know, like we were talking about earlier, she's hilarious and, you know, just her little quirks. And then you'll see, like, yourself in her, you know, or you'll see your wife in her, you know, and so
scary.
So, you know, it's kind of like it's nice that there's some sense of, like, I don't know, like, I guess the word is just fulfilled again. So, and there's a lot of fun along the way, but for me, on the difficulty side, it's just the loss of time. That's been rough.
Yeah. I made a post on Mother's Day last year, right before we had Max, like a month before we had Max. And it was this quote that I just feel like did kind of sum up. It was motherhood, obviously, but I'll change it too. So it says, parenthood is the exquisite inconvenience of being another person's everything. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of so true of my experience, where you're like, wow, it can be so inconvenient for you to be a little person's, like, literally their whole world and everything that they hope or need or fear for or want. It's really inconvenient, but it's also like the most pure, exquisite thing.
Yeah.
And I just love it and also get tired from it, you know?
Yeah. So obviously we feel pretty much done after two, and it just, for me, like, I can't imagine just the complexity of trying to have more kids right now. The way our lives are. Like,
props to people who have a ton of kids. Like, my respect for my parents and your parents. I'm from one of five, you're one of four boys. like, it just goes up, just knowing that, like, how they've figured out how to navigate this stuff. That actually brings me to one of the voicemails from one of our listeners. Yeah. This voicemail is from someone who chose to remain anonymous.
Oh.
Hey guys. I have two things that I wanted to share. One is that, being a parent myself and having had less than perfect moments, I have a lot more forgiveness in my heart for the times when my parents were struggling and when I thought that they could have done better. I now know that they were just people being parents, and being a parent is really hard. The other thing that I wanted to say is that I feel really grateful for all of the information that I have at my fingertips. I feel like my transition into parenthood was made so much easier by access to information about sleep and baby eating and how to control my own emotions and what is normal for a child. And all of those things made parenthood a lot easier for me. And I know that my own mother and grandmother have expressed that they wish that they knew what I know. Like, there is science out there about babies and children now, and they wish that they had access to that. So just generally, I feel really grateful to be a parent at this time.
Well, I really like those comments. You know, I was actually just thinking about this the other day too, how I Google everything.
Yeah, so, truly everything.
So, like, when,
like,
Max,
a running joke.
Yeah, when Max is, like, sick and had symptoms, sometimes Taylor will ask, like, "Hey, should we take him to the doctor?" Or, "What do you think of this?" I'm like, "I don't know, but
let's Google it.
Let's Google it really quick," and, you know, we kind of go through it. Or, you know, I was thinking the other day, Max did a certain thing. I don't know if he pulled himself up standing or something. I was like, "Huh, is he supposed to be doing that yet? Or is he behind?" And so I'll Google it, and then I'll read a bunch of different papers. I'm like, "Oh, okay, interesting." And then you go down a rabbit hole and be like, "Oh, he's supposed to be, you know, this thing and that thing and blah, blah, blah." So, yeah, I absolutely feel like we have got so much advantage if we're willing to take it in terms of making our parenting a little bit less in the dark, which I'm sure probably produced so much, like, anxiety for people to not actually know what's happening.
Especially if you're wondering about something in the middle of the night or over the weekend or whatever. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, the fact that I can literally consult actual experts on different things to do everything that I need to, like a baby sleep expert to help me figure out baby sleep. So this isn't just like parenting advice. These are people who, like, have evidence-based studies and all this stuff, right? Or like actual pediatricians or, you know, potty training experts, you know?
Yeah.
I can literally have all of that at my fingertips, and that definitely has, I trust them very well, and I vet them. Like, you not only do you have that, but like you could have so many options of those experts that you could go with. And so I appreciate that, because every time I feel like if I were to just make my own potty training plan or my own sleep training plan or whatever, I would constantly second guess it. But because I know it's by an expert, I go with the plan, and it's literally worked every time.
Yeah. So and also all the apps. So we've got an app. What's the baby one called?
It's called Baby Tracker.
There we go, Baby Tracker. So I still use that, unbeknownst to Taylor, because I actually still use it to look at the trending sleep or trending like poop or something like that. Because like when I'm watching the kids by myself, sometimes I won't like, you know, be like, I wonder.
When's the last time?
So I go into the data and be like, what's the last 2 weeks when he fell asleep at this time, he woke up at this time, and then 2.5 hours later, he went down for another nap. So I go, all right, so he's going to go down for a nap in like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I use it for that. So, and obviously to get the data, you got to plug it in. So
yeah, that's
which is I'm not as good at.
And so, but it's true. You can sync that information like between the two of us or between like child carers and track like medicine or which side I last breastfed on or whatever, right? So there's so many tools as well. Something that that person said that I really liked was that she mentioned that she has a lot more grace for her parents having experienced it. And I joke about this all the time, but I always, you know, especially right after I had Ella, our first, I would always say like, oh my gosh, I'm so nice to my mom right now, like all the time. Because it's truly only when you become a parent that you realize how much your parents did for you, but especially your mom, just to grow you and get you here and push you out and keep you alive before the parenting even happens. Like you just have no idea. And so yes, like my gratitude for my mom and my parents both, like just quadrupled, like out the wazoo. And then when they haven't missed, like I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm like, this is probably how they were feeling when I came home with this specific issue. They're probably looking at each other with the same wide eyes that sometimes me and you look at each other with when we have a new thing happening. So
yeah, I can't tell you how many times to the Austin and I go
Google.
So
really love that thought. And something that I decided to do for this episode was to just get a little bit of thoughts or advice from our parents, because our parents are amazing. Who do you want to do first? So I just have from your dad, your mom, and my mom.
No, your dad?
No, he's in London and busy. I didn't get it. I'll have to get it later.
Next time.
Yeah, next time on Babe, What Do You Know About?
So let's do one of my parents first since,
All right. You choose.
Let's go with my dad.
Dad.
Let's see what it is.
Let's do it.
I haven't heard these, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I recorded them.
Yeah.
So
you want me to talk about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And parenting is something you do when you have children. Sometimes you do it with other people's children. Parenting is not isolated to just your own children. I think consistency is the foundation. If you say one thing is right and then you don't follow it yourself, then you're inconsistent and it undermines your relationship with whether it's your own child or your grandchild or your someone that you're associated with. I think that that is very important. The other thing is everyone is different. There's no two people that are the same. And it's the same with children. And children change as they get older. They go through different stages. They have different challenges. And one's got to be prepared to adjust with the child and the child's needs, with the other person's needs. Child is not a good word. My assessment of people is that the little babies arrive as adult spirits. They just got little bodies. And if one realizes that you probably had a friendship with them before you were born, and the feeling of knowing that people that you associate with are probably people that you have known before or who that you may have been very good friends, impacts your relationship with them, and especially children who come into your life as these little tiny babies, so helpless. And as they grow older, you realize that they have minds of their own, they have characters, they have ways of communicating and dealing with things. So it's respecting them that is a critical thing. Children are very interesting because it's a whole new ball game. It's not the same as when the children in your life are grown. They're no longer living at home. They have their own lives, their own values. You've got to respect them and give them space to be themselves, yet you've got to continually be the person that they expect you to be, because that's part of their foundation as an individual. They don't need you to suddenly feel that you are now liberated and you can go and do things that you told them not to do. You've got to be consistent. That consistency is, I think, a foundation of the long-term parenting relationship. It's not, doesn't just come and go. It lasts forever. You will always be a parent.
Some wise words from Mr. Wilson.
A lot of wisdom there.
Yeah, a lot to unpack.
Lots to unpack. So, do you want me to comment on it, or do you want to?
Yes. Well, first of all, I just love that Ella's little squeaky, high-pitched voice is in the background of that. Just made me laugh.
Yeah, I think I probably was brushing her teeth or something.
That's exactly what was happening at that time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot to talk about there. So one of the things that I've like always mentioned to other people when asked about, you know, your parents or how I was parenting or, you know, what was it like growing up, I always talk about just how my parents treated us boys like we were adults.
Yeah, you know, you have said that.
So, and it, you know, for my dad, it comes from that belief and that perspective that in the LDS faith that you, before living on earth, you were living as a spirit in a spirit world.
Yeah, you've had like an identity and an existence identity, before.
So, you know, through that perspective that, you know, we're those adult spirits inside, you know, children and, you know, you just got to help
bodies,
little bodies and help them get to adulthood and, you know, get to, you know, express themselves. He always talked about how he's like a, you know, he sees himself more like a coach and a, you know, and a friend rather than, you know, this authoritative figure. So, you know, but at the same time, my parents were very, you know, strong on discipline and rules and expectations. So it wasn't like hippies or anything.
No, like he speaks a lot about consistency. And I think that's so key with parenting.
Very consistent. They were very, very consistent and they were both were always on the same page. So yeah, it was, I feel like I got really good parenting. So it set me up in terms of that whole treat them like adults thing. It really set me up to feel like I could accomplish anything. You know, when you're a kid and you've got your parents have so much like faith in you and trust in you and like, hey, you can do anything and blah, blah, blah. It really did feel like we had a lot of responsibility when we were young, you know. And we weren't ever, you know, told it was bad to challenge adults. So obviously there's been respectful, but at the same time, there wasn't like, I don't know if like, there used to be this funny dynamic in South Africa with parents and children that there was even a commercial I remember being run on TV that said that was like this whole like social change advertisement, basically that the messaging was that children should be seen and heard. Because there used to be a phrase where, you know, children should
be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. So it was, you know, kind of an interesting time to grow up.
Yeah. Your dad also talks about respect. And I think consistency and respect, like what great pillars for parenthood, because the consistency, especially like at our stage, these formative first 5 years are so critical.
Yeah.
And the moment you kind of aren't consistent with what you've said or the expectations you've laid out, it confuses them, as it should. But if you're consistent, then even if they don't like what they're being told or they don't like the direction things are going, they understand it and it makes sense. And they can function within that consistency. And then on top of that, like making sure that's coupled with respect, where you're like, you know, just because you're a child doesn't mean that your feelings don't matter as much or they're not as valid. Like, even if it is pretty silly for you to be screaming and crying about the doll not lying in the bed this exact specific way, it doesn't make those feelings invalid. And that's something that my parents were such great parents, but they were obviously raised in a very traditional way too. And they're figuring out what they were doing too. And I did feel like, you know, growing up, as was, I think, per the norm, if they felt I was crying for a reason, then you hear like, well, I'll give you a reason to cry. You know what I mean?
I'll give you a reason to cry.
Yeah. And it was always like a threat. It was more just a way for them to kind of cope with probably how freaking exhausting it can be to constantly hear crying. But it doesn't actually help anything, right? So to respect the child, like, it doesn't mean that it's okay to throw tantrums or anything, but to just kind of reassure them, like, it's okay to be upset about things sometimes, or it's okay to be mad. It's not okay to throw things or to hit people.
Yeah.
But just validating those feelings, even if they don't matter to you, just teaching that empathy. Yeah. So respect and consistency. Perfect.
Yeah. Funny enough, I feel like I'm using this phrase so often right now with Ella when she's having a tantrum or screaming or crying. So I, you know, walk up to her and be like, I hear you. What's up? You know, and then for some reason it just gets her to be like, oh, I don't know. It kind of just changes whatever thing she's stuck in. And then she starts to explain herself. And it seems to, that phrasing for some reason seems to be working right now.
Yeah. And mirroring that messaging with, you know, when she's really mad, I'm like, oh, that's really hard, or that's really sad. Like, just validating that, like, yeah, that makes me sad sometimes too, you know?
Yeah.
It just humanizes them. And I do find that her tantrums last less long if she's actually validated through them rather than me trying to get her to stop.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I really love what your dad said. He's a very wise man and he's very thoughtful about everything he does. And I know that especially as you became an adult and he raised you through like the teenage years specifically, that willingness that he had to just talk to you about things and
so he communicate. He dealt in the currency of trust, as in, you know, I was given trust first, and... you know, as long as I never broke that trust, I wasn't, you know, given a curfew. And as long as I kept making good decisions
Be wise.
Not being a crazy teenager, you know, within reason, I kept being given trust and space. And honestly, it worked out for the best. So I like staying out and hanging out with friends. So as long as I just didn't do dumb things, then I could keep doing that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, let's get some thoughts from my mom.
Ooh.
When I was first a mom, someone told me to trust my instincts as you have mother's intuition. And I think that's a very wise thing to do, because at the end of the day, you really do know what to do. You just got to trust those instincts that come.
So really simple advice, but so sound. And my mom was particularly good at this. She always kind of got, you know, and she would always try to explain it to me because I would get so annoyed, you know, when she would say, no, I just have a feeling like you shouldn't do this or go here or whatever, right? And she would try to explain it. But, you know, as an adult, I do feel like often our like primitive bodies kind of can just tell or feel things that our brains maybe don't really understand. And I do feel like parents and mothers have that intuition or a level of it, especially if you're paying attention to it, of just like, What is your gut telling you? And there's usually a reason behind it. I remember my first experience really like being like, ah, oh, I need to listen to that. I need to trust it. Was, you know, Ella was 3 or 4 days old and we had to take her in to get her bilirubin tested. Cause she had a little bit of jaundice, and this was the second time we'd had to go in. And the first time we'd gone in, they had put this little heating pack on her tiny little heel, and it made the whole thing so much easier because it warmed up the blood. She didn't feel the pain as much. She just had let out a little squeak, and then they were able to get the blood really quickly right away, and it was no big deal. And I remember the next time we went to go get it tested again, I noticed she wasn't preparing Ella the same way. And I remember saying, like, hey, you know, are you going to use a heat pack? She's like, oh, we only use heat packs for blah, 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 whatever explanation. And I just, like, in my brain, I was like, I should just tell her to just do it anyway. But I always like to try and trust people and leave professionals to do what they do, right? And so I didn't say anything.
Especially being a first-time parent, right? Yeah. So you kind of just, okay, the doctors know.
Well, they must know. Yeah, they must know. And so I didn't say anything, even though I was like, oh, I just feel like that's going to make things a lot easier. And it was horrible because she had to pinprick her on her heel, and she was devastated, and she was like shoving, she was trying to like literally like squeeze out blood because her foot, it was like in the middle of winter and her foot was so cold and the blood wasn't flowing, and that ended up actually, what is the term, coagulating, like,
yeah,
it stopped bleeding. So she had to prick her again and like try, and it was just horrible. And I remember, like, obviously you're just getting to know that brand new tiny baby, and so it's painful to hear them cry like that. And I remember thinking, like, I don't even care whose feathers I ruffle. Like, I'm not going to not say something again. If I feel like, especially when it comes to like my kids' well-being and their pain or whatever, like, I am just going to, oh, well, if I annoy someone, too bad. Like, I just know that this is going to work better, and I need to speak up.
Yeah. Funny enough, but when we had Max, we did speak up, like, the whole ordeal of him going to the NICU and stuff, like, we were definitely on top of it that time just because of
that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's really amazing advice, is because you can do all the reading and it is helpful. I'm not saying don't go do research or do those things, but you can do all the reading, and not everyone's advice or data or whatever is going to be the same. So ultimately, when it comes down to it, is think about the love that you have for your child and trust that because you have their best interests at heart, truly, for the most part, you can really trust what your gut is telling you to do or what is the best to do. Yeah. And if you don't feel stable in that, then it's a good time to reach out to people that also love your children or trust, that you trust for guidance and advice.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice, especially because, like you were saying, there's so often, you know, our subconscious has figured something out or have noticed something, and we just haven't processed it yet and haven't connected all the dots. And so you've got this like intuition, you've got this feeling, and you're like, oh, I don't know why exactly it's just yet. So yeah, it is sometimes really good to, you know, just do it, just follow it.
Yeah. And my mom always said, she, you know, looking in the past, she's only ever regretted not listening to that gut instinct. She, even if her gut instinct turned out to be wrong, she hasn't regretted listening to it. So it's kind of one of those things where you're like, you know, what will you regret more, listening to it and being wrong, or not listening to it and being wrong? You know, so yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
All right, let's get some of your mom in here.
Well, I have enjoyed parenting my four boys, and I think one of the things that have been most helpful is to develop their strengths, their talents, and their interests. I remember getting the advice from another parent, like, to keep your boys busy so they won't have any time to get into mischief or into trouble. And so each of my sons were encouraged to take up several different interests and hobbies, and that included things like, I know, karate, swimming, tennis, speech, going to the beach, or especially like with Sam, he loved anything that was to do with a ball. Because I think the kids were just so busy doing their own thing and enjoying what they were doing, I had very little trouble, you know, almost no trouble with them as far as
you know, getting into things that they shouldn't be doing. I think one of the most important things about parenting is that both mom and dad need to be on the same page with each other regarding the parenting styles for the children, but also allowing for the fact that each child is individual. So it's important that one talk about and communicate the observation of each child and try to adapt to each child's personality. So we came across as a united front. Children never went behind our backs to try and manipulate the one against the other. They knew that we were united, and I think that gave stability and consistency. And knowing that we had already had a plan and that it would work.
What a wise woman.
So I was just thinking back to all that, all the stuff I did growing up. I mean, there was like piano lessons and soccer and cricket and rugby and field hockey
and
volleyball and going to the beach and karate and, oh my goodness, and skateboarding and basketball. And I mean, there's just tennis.
Wow.
And
choir.
And I mean, I literally could sit here and I'd probably name another 10 things. Now to know that it was just to make sure I didn't get into trouble. No, I always felt like, you know, my parents were so supportive of whatever I wanted to do.
It's like Inception, because not only did it keep you out of trouble, but it also made you feel so empowered and supported.
Yeah, and I loved playing so many different sports. You know, I loved it. So I was always involved doing at least a few things, you know, every week. But she did say the whole United Front thing. So that was the something I said earlier, which was, I remember, like, there was never an opportunity to complain to mom and get a different answer by going to complain to dad. That was never, like, ever a thing. So that whole consistency thing. And so realizing that they had done that with a lot of planning and a lot of intention definitely makes me feel like I could brush up a little bit more in terms of, like, making sure that me and you are, like, intentional the whole time. It's not that we aren't on the same page, because we talk about it.
Anytime she goes from one to the other, we
we know, like, let's go. And if I don't, know, like, what mom has said,
what did mom say?
Yeah, what did mom say? Let's go talk to mom. It's not like I'm going to trust you what you tell me about mom said. Let's go talk to mom, and then she knows that we're going to go check with mom. There's no different answer.
Yeah. No, I think my parents, for the most part, were the same as well. And it was helpful, because you, as she said, you don't encourage shenanigans or teach them manipulative tactics so young. But it also does provide a stability on, you know, it's not just mom being mom. It's truly like these two people who really love me and care for me are in agreement about this decision for my well-being. So it can help you maybe be a little more introspective as a child as to, I mean, probably not, but maybe down the road, right?
Yeah.
You don't deal with the same kind of frustrations. And something else that she said was, she spoke about having that consistent open dialogue with each other about each child, not only how they're so different from each other, but how they change as they grow. And that's something I'm just starting to get glimpses of, because Max and Ella are so different, but like similar little quirks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we definitely won't struggle with the same things between the two of them, and they won't have the same strengths either. And so not only do we have to keep an open dialogue about each of them, but also they're at different places developmentally and so you just have to constantly be talking, whether you're a husband and wife or wife and wife or husband and husband, or even like co-parenting, step parents. Like, you have to be, and it's so much easier said than done. I've never co-parented with an ex partner before. I imagine that's super difficult.
But
if you care about your child, the way that parents do, I think you have to be willing to put away sides to just try and unite on what is truly best for your child and what to do when you disagree. So maybe that's something to talk about, because what do you think? Like,
so
when parents truly disagree on what is best for their child,
yeah, so
how to handle that.
I was actually thinking about this, you know, what, a little bit, just like a minute ago. I was just thinking how there's those times where, you know, you're doing a parenting a certain way, and I come in there, I don't know the situation, and I'm like, well, that was, I don't,
odd behavior.
I don't agree with what whatever Taylor's doing right now. I'm not on that page, but I don't like create a disagreement in front of Ella right then, or one of Max, because Max is 8 months old. but with Ella, like, I don't go and be like, what are you doing? You know, like, I literally like play out to find out from you what's going on, and then, like, you know, try help the situation with whatever you're doing. And then if I have a problem with it, or I don't think that was the right way to do it, it's like, okay, now that we're done, now that Ella's taken care of and we've gone, it's then me and you then just have a discussion like, hey, what was going on? Why this? And then we can, you know, a lot of times you're like, oh, I got some more backstory from this. That's why Taylor was doing this. Or I can then say like, hey, next time, let's try this. You know, that. So I feel like, for me, that's how it should be done. And you shouldn't undermine the parent in front of the child with, like, you know, some sort of, like, you don't reprimand the other parent at, you know, at that point. Unless, of course, it's an extreme situation. And you're, like, harming the child.
But, if there's abuse that they're seeing or behavior that's not acceptable, then I think if you as the adult have gone to that point, then you deserve to be.
Yeah.
Like, that children deserve to see how you should react when people are being that way. But I would say that for the most part, that's not the case.
And I think the undermining would be worth, let's just say I'm overreacting and I've gotten more angry than I should and I've raised my voice and I'm yelling at the child. I think it's worse in the long run for you to come in and undermine me, rather than just be like, oh, hey, let's, you know, you don't come in and start yelling at Ella too, but, you know, like, maybe come out and neutralize the situation instead of reprimanding the other parent right there and then. You know, I feel like it does more damage to, you know, undermine the other parent rather than just having, okay, well, dad yelled or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So something that these experts, something I've learned is they say, like, when you're dealing with a difficult situation with other parents or even just with your child and your toddlers, especially, to instead of, like, fixing or coaching people through a situation that you disagree with or that isn't going as well, to narrate what's going on, or almost be like a sports announcer. So instead of coming in being like, dude, why are you yelling? Or, hey, it's not okay to yell or whatever. You come in and say, it seems like everyone's having a really hard time here. Dad's feeling angry. His voice is getting loud and Ella's crying and her voice is getting loud. I wonder what we should do. You know, how can we, you don't say, this is what we're going to do. Like, you just kind of almost prompt by
neutralize the situation.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that can help, because you do, I think often if you're a parent, you're going to be having a hard time where you're not at your best. That's going to happen for sure. It's so getting help and support from your partner in those moments is going to be a lot more helpful than feeling judged for it. And not being able to really talk about it. So I think that undermining will just contribute to that shame and judgment instead of allowing you to, like, understand, like, you know, I've been there, like, everyone's, you know, just giving each other the benefit but also being able to step in when you have clearly the bandwidth or haven't been in the situation long enough to be frustrated to help out.
I think after all the comments that we've heard from our parents, I think for me, the biggest takeaway, obviously there's so much good, is to be intentional. And not just to kind of let the kids kind of dictate things and not just kind of like figure it out as you go along, because there will be some of that. But the more intentional you can be, the better prepared you will be for situations. And I think the more resources you can maybe have ready in those situations.
Yeah. I love that. And I, one thing that I also have loved to learn about as a parent, and you know, it's ironic that we're recording this today because I've just had like a really rough parenting day, to be honest. Like I've just really, for whatever reason, just struggled. I wouldn't say short fuse, because it's not really like necessarily just anger, but not a lot of bandwidth to cope with situations the way that I would have wanted to, right? So it's just ironic. I'm feeling like that parent guilt or whatever. So, but something that I have loved to remind myself is that as a parent, like you're a model for behavior that you are teaching your kids. And so, and this goes back to what your dad was saying about consistency, is that if you don't want your child to try and calm a situation down by yelling, then you can't try to calm a situation down by yelling, you know?
Yeah.
Or if your child, if you expect them to apologize when they've done something wrong or haven't reacted the way that you've wanted to, then you as a parent need to model that for them. And so that's something that I have tried working on, is when I do kind of lose my crap or just I'm a lot shorter than I would want to be, to own up to it and say, you know, I am really sorry. Like we always talk like mom was feeling angry and it's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to yell. And I did, and I'm really sorry, and I'm going to work really hard. Because how is she going to learn how to repair from making those mistakes or kind of getting to those points if she never sees how to do it? So that's like almost comforting in a way, because obviously it means that you don't have to be perfect, because you can't be. But you can use those moments of imperfection actually for their benefit if you're willing to hold yourself to the same standard as you hold them to, by expecting them to be sorry and apologize, yeah, and repair and own up to mistakes and improve from there. So, and then the other thing is just like, it's literally never going to help a situation to be short or to yell.
Yeah. It's very true.
How would it ever help someone how would it ever help someone to regulate or to calm down, especially toddlers? And so same with like hitting kids. And obviously I'm just going to try leave judgment out of this episode, so definitely not saying anything. But for me, you know, if I don't want my children to solve problems by hitting people, then I can't try to solve problems with my children by hitting them, because it's just so confusing. And so just however you want them to solve problems or to get through things, like you need to model for them as a parent.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It's kind of crazy to realize just how observant children are. Like Ella's just stupid observant, and she's picking up words and phrases and mannerisms.
Tonight she even said, "What's Sam doing?" Because yeah. She heard me talking about you by name.
Yeah, and she'll say things like the way I'm been saying things to her, you know, like bricky brick,
yeah,
you know, like, or doggy dog or Maxi Max, you
yeah
know?
That's like a you thing that she's started. Yeah,
now she does that. Yeah. She'll say it for like other things, but with the same
cadence.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. So yeah, so it definitely is the most important thing is your kids are going to model their behavior after you. And so even if we're trying to create certain behaviors in her, she's literally just going to be who she's going to be at the end of the day.
True.
And she will model her behavior after things. Us, yeah, yeah, after us. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have one more voicemail by a listener named Brandon to listen to.
Brandon.
My thoughts on parenthood. Okay. After having a couple of my own, one thing I listened to a while back on somebody who posted a reel, he had said there are thousands of different books on parenthood out there, and none of them seem to be on the same page, which tells you one thing, that nobody knows what the hell they're doing, and we're all just winging it along the way. So best thing to do is go off of your own intuition and your own instinct and hope for the best. Hang on to the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
It's so true, though. That's it actually is, he's saying kind of what your mom was saying, right?
Yeah.
That mother's intuition. So it's true. We've talked a lot about like the apps and the research that you can do, but at the end of the day, like there's so many different like variables at play that you do have to still trust your instincts at the end of the day, you know?
It's really hard to balance those ideas though, where you, as a parent, you need to be so intentional, but also be willing to be flexible based on just your primitive gut feeling. So balancing those, I think, is the trick. And certainly I feel like with practice that improves, that balance improves. And that's why, like, with practice as a parent, like, you get to be a better parent.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that I thought I'd just do and be as a parent. And there's so many times that I've been like, man, I'm really frustrated right now. I'm not going to show any of it until I'm by myself. But then when I'm with Taylor, it's like, I'm so like tired right now. I'm so tired right now. And you're just like, I'm just going to go lie down for like, I'm done. My day is over. It's 8:30 and I'm done. I'm going to bed.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's so many things about parenthood that like we haven't even talked about. Like, we haven't even talked about like postpartum. We haven't talked about roles and responsibilities, like balancing that between parents. We haven't talked about identity changes that happen from like your pre-child life to post-child life. Well, child life, because as your dad said, you're never not a parent after that point.
Yeah.
But I guess, well, did you have any last thoughts before I kind of like...
I do actually have some last thoughts. I was just, you know, I'll mention like a story at work to my brothers or Conrad or whatever. And, you know, I'm like, and they're like, yeah, I mean, that can be hard. It gets harder. And I'm like, what? So, you know,
why would you share that with me?
wait till you have teenagers. And then, and then my dad's like,
parents are so terrible about saying that.
And then my dad's like, wait till they're adults.
They're adult children.
I'm like, isn't it supposed to get easier? You know? So I'll be honest. For me, it has gotten easier, and I'm loving, I'm enjoying as she gets older, and I'm enjoying as Max gets older. Like, it, and for me, it is getting easier. But maybe there's like, it gets easier till a certain stage, and then it gets harder again. I don't know. But for me, the hardest time to be a parent was literally like the first 6 months, especially the first month. Your baby's floppy, and you don't hold it right, you're gonna kill it. And it can't do anything on its own. It can't sit. It can't look at you. It can't smile. It can't do anything. It poops its pants. That for me was so hard. Now that Max is
so
like...
So funny to me.
Now that Max is like looking at me in the face and he's smiling and I can tell him jokes and make funny noises and he gets all excited and he grunts at me or he calls me mom. Love it. Like, it's one of my favorite things. Watching him scoot around on his butt because he won't crawl is amazing. You know, so I love all these stages, you know, the older they get. But... you know, maybe I'm in for something that I'm just not expecting. I think that maybe that's a lot of parents are trying to tell you. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of things in a lot of books, but you don't know the curveballs that you're going to get thrown.
Yeah, it's hard because, and it's so funny, every time you're like, those first 6 months is so hard. In my brain, I'm like, have pushed out the baby and I'm bleeding and I'm physically feeding the baby and now I'm like, yeah, it is kind of hard. But it is hard, like, especially because you were so supportive during that time. Like, you literally would get up just to be up with me when Ella was born, just to like solidarity.
Teamwork that makes the dream work. So yeah, no, there was like lack of sleep and you know.
But for me, like, I can deal with, you know, physical needs, survival needs, maybe a lot more then I can deal with emotional needs. And maybe that's like, it says a lot about me that maybe this is something I need to process in therapy or something. But like, as Ella gets older, it's not that she's more difficult for me, but it is like easier for me to, like, if she's crying or has hurt herself, to be like, oh, and step in and like help. Whereas like helping her emotionally regulate, where I'm just like, if you will not let me help you, I can't help you. And I'm getting really frustrated about it because you can't even just tell me what's wrong. So I feel like parenting can get more difficult depending on where your strengths are, what you're more practiced at regulating and working through, but also probably depending on the kid,
yeah,
preferences. So perhaps parenthood does get harder for us, or perhaps That's where we shine. Who knows? But the point of it is like, it's the best.
Yeah.
It is. And that's kind of where I wanted to land is like, I'd love to know what your favorite part of being a parent has been. That's really hard to articulate, I think. But parenting is so challenging and so selfless. But yeah, you just, again, it's just kind of getting into that realm of trying to explain this. But
I love coming home after work and, you know, I immediately, the Ella's happy to see me or she's hiding, like hide and go seek. This is her thing right now. But like within a minute, you know, she's like wants to hug and tell me about her day and chatty. And she's just so happy to see me and I'm so happy to see her. Love it. And same with Max. Like when I'll get up with him in the morning or something and he's like so happy to be alive. He's so happy to be alive. So he's just like ready to go. And so I'm half asleep. But take him, you know, to the lounge or whatever, and then he's just like, just let me play, let me smack you and
yeah,
you know, grab your face or whatever, and he's so happy. He's the happiest baby ever. And I love that. Those are like my favorite moments right now. It definitely makes it, for me, makes parenting in those windows so much easier, you know.
Yeah I think my favorite part of parenting is obviously them. They are my favorite people in the world, like more than you, more than anyone, you know, and there's a primitive side to that. Obviously you're like, the three of you are my favorite people in the whole world. So I don't want you to be sad about that. But like, I love them more than I've loved anybody, you know. It's the only people in this world that I think I will truly love unconditionally, right? Like even our relationship is conditional.
Yeah, we've talked about this. It's basically like your kids you love unconditionally, but your partners can still do things where you're like, okay, well,
we don't.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah, like exactly. And you know, if you were to be a terrible person, like I could stop loving you, but it doesn't matter what they do. Like, it doesn't mean I'll support them and condone terrible behavior, but I will never stop loving them the way that I do. And I think maybe that's my favorite part about parenthood, is because I love the person that they have made me become. And that's a person who sacrifices and puts them first and constantly learns how to make decisions truly for the benefit of other people and put myself next, and but also like balancing that with like being able to really look at myself and work on myself too, so that I'm the best for them. So yeah, besides just them being my favorite, it's so funny, I'm like emotional, whatever, I'm crying, it's fine. But I really do love who they have made me be, because I am a better person. Like the moment I had Ella and every moment since, like I have and will sacrifice whatever I need to make sure that they're safe, that they're healthy, and that they're happy. And that's beautiful. And I don't know how else I would really learn it to the extent that I have. And I'm so grateful to my parents, because like you only really realize how much you're loved when you love someone else that same way, right? And so because I love my kids so much, I just realize, wow, like I am so loved by my parents. They love me the same way that I love my kids. It's just a beautiful cycle of humanity, I think.
Yeah, amen to that. Thank you for listening to
Babe, What Do You Know About?
If you'd like to hear more from us, please remember to rate, subscribe, and review.